Larry Brotman is in here with his next amazing book, Chicago Eternal. Larry, how are you?
I'm great, and I appreciate you having me to talk about it.
How can I not? The last time you were on with your amazing book, Chicago Monuments, I said, what are you doing next, Larry? And you said, well, I'm doing Chicago Eternal. And I said, oh, yes, tell me that's about Chicago cemeteries. And it is.
It is, absolutely. I think, one of the best books I've done so far.
I'm telling you right now, it is your best book.
Thank you.
But tell the listeners, take me back to, you have not spent the last decades being a writer and photographer. You came to this later in life, shall we say. What did you spend those decades doing, Larry?
I did, and I came into this later in life, as you point out. Actually, after my retirement from my major career, I'm an engineer.
Yeah, I know.
And a research scientist. I was a professor at IIT in Chicago for a number of years, and then had my own company. My field of expertise is plastics. And when I retired, roughly almost 10 years ago, I had always been interested in photography and, of course, in writing. And I just decided I was going to pursue that as my major interest and career.
What drew you to Chicago's monuments, to Chicago's cemeteries? Because there are, as you can know, and thank God you didn't devote your later years to golf or something. We never would have met.
Right.
Or we would have met somewhere out, somehow on a golf course. But as a photographer, you could have been drawn to birds. You could have been drawn to nature. You could have been drawn to landscapes.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that's what I initially was drawn to. I was a nature. I became interested in nature photography and birds and wildlife and landscapes. That was my initial interest. And my wife and I traveled all over the world. We were fortunate to be able to do that. And I began photographing things that I was seeing in all over the world. But it was the concentration in my concentration was on nature. And that led to, starting in the late 90s, maybe around the year 2000, to Africa. It led me to Africa. And I spent several years in East Africa photographing wildlife. And that then, the wildlife photographs I generated became came in handy, because my first book, Chicago Unleashed, was wildlife in iconic Chicago, a whimsical book.
And it was also, sort of collaborative with Lurie Hospital. What did I, why am I?
Exactly. When Lurie,
I have a great memory. My memory has not faded. I just want to say that.
No, that is good. And I appreciate it, because I do like to mention that, because I saw Lurie Children's Hospital being built.
Yeah.
We live not too far from there. And I had done a project prior to Lurie being built with Children's Hospital, where I was giving them and donating wildlife photographs to the old Children's Hospital on Clark Street.
Sure.
And when I saw Lurie being built, I went over and said, gee, how would you like some more wildlife photographs for the new hospital?
Is it actually that easy? You just walk in and say to some guard or somebody, hey, how would you like some new photographs? You have to go through certain channels, yes?
You do, but I had already, done
the project.
Oh, you
had a relationship.
So
sure.
I had a relationship with the facilities people there. And they said, you know what? We know you've given us wildlife photographs. We want to do something a little different with Lurie. It's a new hospital. It's right in the middle of Chicago. Can we think of something more interesting than just wildlife? And someone came up with the concept. I don't think it was me, actually. Let's do something fun. Can you introduce animals into Chicago scenes and make whimsical photographs? And it's one of the first times that a committee that I've been on has actually come up with a really good idea.
Yeah, that actually committee was actually fun. Yeah,
the committee actually came up with this idea, the arts committee, and I volunteered to do all the Chicago scenic photographs, and then we did with Photoshop, with computer.
Sure.
So, for example, the cover of the book, which then became a book, not only photographs placed at Lurie, called Chicago Unleashed, and that cover is a real lion, which I photographed. I remember it so well in Kenya, which we put under the lions at the Art Institute, sitting in front of the Art Institute.
So that project drew you into the whole monument scene in Chicago. It, you obviously were aware of this town as a hotbed of monuments, but that really must have kicked in into overdrive for you.
I remember when I was we were talking about a year ago, I think it was on your show, yeah, about Chicago Monumental. I said that, you know, Chicago has incredible number of monuments. That's fountains, commemorative, sure, statues, and so on. But people tend to walk by them and not necessarily pay much interest,
I agree,
to them. So I had decided after the first book that I'm going to do a book just on the Chicago historic monuments.
See, one of the other things, and I think we may have talked about this before, but if not, we'll talk about it now, that people generally travel the same routes. They go to work, they go to their favorite restaurant, they come home. They're the same routes. They don't often say to themselves, well, I'm going to take a walk on Madison Street from downtown to Oak Park. Do you know what I mean? That's,
yes,
one of the reasons that many people, unless you're a cab driver or something,
right,
don't really get a sense of the variety and the immensity of the monuments.
It's, I think that's you're making a very good point. You know, Chicago is an amazing city with respect to its public art. But most of us as citizens of Chicago don't necessarily take advantage of it.
Yeah.
It means you have to walk around, you have to make a special trip, so to speak, or you have to have that in your mind or go on a tour. There are tours
sure,
one can go on.
But, sure.
But we generally go back and forth to work and maybe take the same route and never explore the city would be the best way to explain
and
it.
One of the Larry Brotman's latest book, Chicago Eternal, explores a part of the city that few visit, though anybody can visit. But we generally only visit these places under really sorrowful circumstances. They are Chicago's. The Chicago area's cemetery is the place where you might go, and on the anniversary of your, not many people I know go on the anniversary of their grandfather's death, but your mother's death or your father's death, and you plunk some flowers down in the grave, and then you get back in your car and you go back home again. I have ever maintained, I've written about it dozens of times, that cemeteries are these fascinating outdoor, not only are they outdoor art galleries, as you so beautifully capture in this book, they are outdoor history lessons. They are everything. You have a phrase, what do you call it? I can't remember. Hold on. We're just going to take a break. I'm going to spend another half hour talking to Larry Brotman about this book. You say, I know it's in here, I know, I'm going to find it right now. You call them sleeping cities. That is a great, great phrase.
Yeah.
We'll be back with Larry Brotman talking about his latest book, Chicago Eternal. It is a captivating look at some of, because you couldn't do all of them, some of the remarkable statues and mausoleums and gravestones and everything else you could imagine. And that crazy Cubs thing, that must be getting so much attention.
Oh, it is.
I saw it on TTW.
How glad the many millions of Annabelles and Lillians.
Frank Sinatra, ladies and gentlemen, just because I like him. Larry Brotman's latest book is Chicago Eternal. It is a lengthy and pretty detailed visit to not all, but most of Chicago area's notable cemeteries. One, the book begins with my favorite mausoleum, because when I was a child, with Ty Bowler and Johnny Paraskevis and Kenny Roper and Ralph Penuela, we would get screwdrivers and hammers and walk over to Lincoln Park, just north of North Avenue, and the weed-enshrouded couch mausoleum, we thought either held, you know, we didn't know what it held. We thought King Tut was in there, but it
right.
You don't think anybody's in there anymore, do you?
I'm not sure that anyone is actually in there because, you know, that mausoleum stands on the grounds that
sure.
Chicago City Cemetery, the original cemetery
in
Chicago.
Took up a big chunk of Lincoln Park before the fire.
Right, and you know, basically everyone was removed from there and relocated to other cemeteries after the Chicago fire, yeah. About that period of time.
And then you move stunningly, and this double truck photo is astonishing, to Burr Oak Cemetery, which has had some problems in recent years, but
right.
It still contains the grave of poor little Emmett Till. Burr Oak, what did you think about that? Burr Oak was, some people were arrested and charged and thrown in jail for selling old graves out there. That's an abominable thing to do.
It is, but it's not uncommon in a sense that's happened at other cemeteries. But Burr Oak has had an unfortunate history because it is a cemetery where African Americans are buried.
Sure.
And at the time that it was created, because African Americans
could not
be buried it.
I know.
At the existing cemeteries in Chicago back in the mid to late 1800s.
One of the things that Larry does in his book, Chicago Eternal and Chicago Monuments, and that animal book before that, but especially this one, he does a remarkable job of doing the research behind all of the gravestones and monuments and things that he writes about, and gives them to you in a wonderfully, interestingly digestible form. That is part of the appeal for you. You're a great photographer, but part of the appeal for you has to be the historical research.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I started out by wanting to photograph the monuments themselves because many of the monuments are quite beautiful,
and
quite interesting. But then I began to realize, well, wait a minute. It's really not the monuments I want to have the book highlight. It's the stories of the people that are buried below these monuments.
And there must be some when you're out saying, I'm going to go do the Confederate mound, and I want you to talk about that, to go out and do them, that you might come across a grave and a name of someone you've never even heard of. But it's beautiful, and you will therefore investigate. So this is a thrilling thing for you, I think.
It is. It's a challenge. It was exciting
sure.
for me because for that exact reason, I would come across a monument that wow, this is really interesting. One comes to mind, a woman with an easel at Oakwood Cemetery, and she was a famous artist in the early 1900s. So I discovered that by doing the research, using her name, of course.
Sure.
So, sure, you see some incredibly interesting monuments that today aren't really, you know, being done. That's just not the way people deal with cemeteries today. And monuments, they're usually simple headstones.
But it cannot be because people don't have the same egos as someone like George Pullman. What do you think the reason is? You're right. It is certainly not in fashion to build a kind of crazy looking virtual house that George Pullman built at Graceland. But why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's partly because of the culture today. It's also partly because there's no room and it's extremely expensive.
Yeah.
So I think people have moved to more simple headstones and gravestones that don't take up a lot of room. And because, again, a lot of the cemeteries, there simply is no room to do it anymore.
That's probably a big reason because
I think so.
You know, some goof is out here, you know, buying four Lamborghinis or something. You would think he'd want, you know, a mini Sears Tower, which I still call Willis Tower, built there. One of the other great things about the book is there are gangsters all over the place in this town, aren't there?
Oh, they are all over
the place.
I love the gangster monuments. And, you know, one thing I really like to say is that I took it as a personal challenge to find all the victims of the St. Valentine's Day massacre that was orchestrated.
That is great. You have here on page. So when someone has bought your book, and you can get it anywhere, Amazon, any one of the conventional book sites, and you know, in those old fashioned things called stores too, bookstores. Right. Chicago Eternals, not a complicated headline for you, but I'm sure people will turn to page 71, and they'll go, okay, Reinhard Schwimmer, what? I never heard of him. Who was he?
Right. To he was the
point.
First, Reinhard, he was really an interesting guy, and he was the first victim, so to speak, of the St. Valentine's Day massacre that I found.
Yeah.
And he encouraged me, or his grave did, to then find the other six. He was viewed as a hanger-on. He was an optometrist.
Right.
And he loved the gangs.
He was a gang fan. The other one, on just two pages later, is the tomb of a notable, sad figure in modern crime, Bobby Franks.
Right. Bobby Franks, again, I approached that really carefully in terms of, you know, knowing, of course, what happened to him, knowing that this evolved into the trial of the century with the Leopold and Loeb family and Clarence Darrow defending them. So coming across the Bob, which I came across on my own, Bobby Franks mausoleum, that's a special.
Oh, I agree. I think you treated it with the kind of utmost respect here too. But that's a fascinating one, and there's so many in the book that I did not know Mike Todd. Mike Todd, most famous for being Elizabeth Taylor's husband, but was a genius kind of showman producer. I had no idea Mike Todd was buried here.
Right. And that also is a really interesting story because his grave robbers attempted to break into his grave, thinking that he had a lot of money or jewelry buried with him. And they, in fact, did break into his grave. And so the cemetery... into his casket, and so the cemetery has taken his remains and put them in an unknown location, but the headstone or gravestone, which I photographed, is still in the same place.
It's fascinating. We got to take a break, and I'm going to keep Larry here till a quarter to, because we've only hit on a few of these, and one that surprises me immensely is Joseph Medill has just the most modest kind of gravesite. Again, the book is Chicago Eternal. All of the proceeds, all of Larry is the Santa Claus of the book publishing business, because all of his royalties, all of them, go to the Chicago Lighthouse for people who are blind or visually impaired and to Access Living. So not only will you be getting a spectacular book, you'll be doing some good, too. We'll be right back. Well, many people are being embraced by the earth at the various cemeteries around this area, and no one has captured that more effectively and beautifully, frankly, than Larry Brodman in Chicago Eternal, which is really a kind of, you know, it is a celebration of cemeteries as far as I'm concerned. The thing is, you know, everybody, I hate to break this news to you people, everybody dies. No one's going to live forever, and people choose the way in which they want to be remembered, and it is a fascinating, artful history lesson about the way Chicagoans choose to memorialize basically themselves, because most of these, wouldn't you say, Larry, that these are, you know, I doubt if George Pullman's secretary decided, hey, I think you should build a big mausoleum, or Jack Ruby's aunt. I forgot that Jack Ruby was buried around here.
Yeah, that was, I just found that to be really interesting. Yeah. And when I tell people Jack Ruby is buried at Westlawn Cemetery, what? You know, I get that kind of reaction, really?
Yeah.
So it is really quite amazing when you look at the book and you go through it and see all of the people that are, you know, highlighted. Well, as you said, it's an amazing history lesson of Chicago.
Yeah, and it's who is Carl Broughton?
That's my father. I had to put him in the book, you know. I
why not?
Exactly. So I just thought, you know, this would be really cool. Yeah, I'm going to put my father as
a really
grave
cool.
in the
it's
book.
An incredibly cool picture of him in
thank you.
In his Navy uniform. An incredibly cool picture. Does it ever, it must surprise you when I kind of, or surprise you on a daily basis that some people you might expect to have a sort of relatively lavish send-off, so to speak. You can't anticipate, can you?
No, I think I like to, again, compare Mayor Jane Byrne. She's at Calvary Cemetery, and mm-hmm. she has a very, very simple gravestone. And if you compare that to, say, Mayor Daley, who has a fairly elaborate
sure.
monument at Holy
sure.
Sepulchre Cemetery, the difference is quite startling. Now, you know, I'm not drawing any comparisons or not indicating why that would be, but
yeah.
that's the fact.
Yeah. Now, we were talking off air, Larry and I, trying to figure out why more people don't go to cemeteries. They're spooky. We were taught from an early age that these are spooky places. But going in the daytime, what in God's name, what is spooky about... Do you find people exploring cemeteries and all the travels you've done and all the photographs you've taken, do you ever see, I know there are people who jog through cemeteries
right.
because it's a convenient, quiet kind of place to jog.
Exactly.
But if you, Graceland has tours, I'm sure Rose Hill has tours, I'm sure many of them have tours.
They do.
But this is a great untapped resource, don't you think?
Yes, cemeteries. You know, I've of course spent a fair last 4 years a lot of time in cemeteries, met a lot of people that are walking through cemeteries, visiting cemeteries, not because a loved one is buried there, but out of some other interest. Cemeteries, in some respects, like Graceland, for example, is kind of, you could view it as a park, you know, that's
absolutely.
Quiet.
Absolutely.
Because people use it that way. They walk, they jog, they ride their bikes. For that, you know, just because it's when you're in the middle of the cemetery, street noise, you can't hear it.
See, that's a great thing. I mean, these people are dead, ladies and gentlemen, so it is very,
quiet.
Very peaceful.
Peaceful,
I like the
quiet.
Word peaceful. One of the most amazing places in the city of Chicago to me, if you could talk about it for a minute or two, is in Graceland Cemetery. It's the Burnham Island.
Yes. Yes, very... tranquil. It's a little hard to find unless you're on a tour, but it's an island in Lake Willowmere, and there's you know, I think I captured I'm happy with the photograph because there's
too.
A bridge that goes from the mainland, so to speak, to the island, and
yeah.
I said, oh, I'm going to stand there and kind of capture that bridge. And Daniel Burnham and his family, all his family members are buried on that little island. Which again is quite small, but it's something because of his importance to the city of Chicago, the planning of our city and the boulevards and the parks. That's a really important site at Graceland Cemetery if you're interested in history.
And that bridge is relatively new, right? And it's not like 2 years old, but I remember when they had to redo the bridge there. Okay, let's talk about Bohemian National and this amazing, astonishing, crazy-looking a season. Here's what this mausoleum is called. The Cubs fan. It says Cubs fans forever beyond the vines.
Yes.
What is this thing?
That is perhaps the most unique cemetery monument you'll find anywhere. I mean anywhere,
yeah,
like
right,
in the country
right.
or in it. And it is what is called a columbarium. A columbarium is a structure where cremated remains are placed in urns. And this is what you're referring to is a model, a duplication of Wrigley Field ivory-colored outfield wall.
Yeah.
And in front of it are actual seats from Wrigley Field that Mr. Mascari, the creator of this, purchased. And you can, there's 288 niches in that wall where you can place your remains, cremated remains. Now, this individual paid for it all. Bohemian Cemetery now manages it. He's, I think, now in the wall himself, I believe. I hope I'm not saying something that's not true. And if you want to place your, want to be a Cubs fan forever into eternity, this would be a great way to do it.
You call Bohemian National and say, hey, I hear there are like a few places left in this guy Mascari's thing.
And you can be there. You can be one of them.
Does it, since, and indeed, I know that's an intensely personal question, but have you thought of where, if you're going to be buried, Larry Brotman,
yes,
have you thought of where you would like to be buried and what kind of memorial you would like to mark that?
Well, I have
other than a running tape of you on the radio show with me that
right.
Just broadcast
that
eternally.
That would be interesting and unique, but we have prepared ourselves. We have cemetery lots, and I think a lot of people do, and it's something, you, in my view, that you want to do as an individual,
sure.
Especially
well,
as
because
a,
you can have control over the inevitable.
Well, and you don't want your family to necessarily have to
sure.
do it. So it's a smart thing to do, and I've certainly done it. Certainly, we have not planned my wife and I our memorial or my you know.
You guys are too
grief.
Young and healthy. Why would you do something
my
dumb
wife
like
might
that?
Be, but not me. So, yeah, I think that people are doing that. Cemeteries sell lots, you know, that's
sure.
What they're in business to do, so
oh,
to speak.
Of course. No. And again, this is not something, you know, dying in cemeteries is not something that should be stigmatized. It is something that everybody will participate in, like it or not.
Correct.
I am assuming, because you are a relatively self-effacing guy, when the time comes to figure out what you might want there, that it would be a relatively, it won't be anything garish, will it?
No, I like to think of the cemetery we have purchased lots in, by the way, like Irv Cupson, it is buried there. He has a very simple, he's not in my book, but he has a very simple gravestone. It simply says Irv Cups in it for those people at our age.
You know, for Cup, who I knew quite
yes.
well, it really should just say Cup.
Well,
it really should just say
yeah,
Cup.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
The new one, and you got it in the book. Again, the book is Chicago Eternal at fine bookstores everywhere and online, and all of the proceeds, you have to buy the book, but you're also giving to such great nonprofits as the Chicago Lighthouse for people who are blind or visually impaired and Access Living. Larry gets nothing from this book except the joy of doing it, and I get the feeling there was just immense joy in doing this.
Immense joy, and it's so great to see people enjoying the book.
Yeah, no kidding.
And at the same time, learning a lot about some of the Chicago history.
That's a great part of it. It's beauty, it's entertaining, it's visually exciting. I think it will lead people to some of these places to see them in person, and that's a great thing.
I hope so, and they can go on tours, you know, at Graceland
and
Rose Hill, and that's a great way to do it.
And look for Larry Brotman and me wandering around, and Larry's beautiful wife, Susan, will be wandering around because we're hooked. Larry, congratulations. Can I ask what's next?
Yes, what is next is a book called two books, Chicago Courageous, which is on veterans and police officers killed in the line of duty, who are buried, you know, in Chicago area cemeteries.
Sure.
So it's in a sense a little extension of this book. And our next book, which will be published in about 10 months, is a book called Chicago Treasure. That is going to be a fantastic, back to a whimsical book where we have placed children that I photographed into characters in nursery rhymes and children's stories. So quite a bit different, but but challenging.
All right, you'll be back on the show.
Great.
Larry Brotman, Susan, great to see you as always. Great to look at your pictures and read your words.
Appreciate
we'll be right
it very
back.
Much.
We'll be right back.